Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Meseches Ksubis has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rav Yaakov ben Matisyahu Zatzal, and Chaya Bas Pesach.
Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Perek HaKesef. The first sugya in the Perek talks about a man who makes a prenuptial agreement with his wife. He's mistalik. He gives up on certain schusim that Chazal gave him when he married his wife. When a man marries a woman, all the Tanai Ksuba go into effect. There are several chiyuvim a man has to his wife, and there are several schusim that he gets. One aspect of the schusim that a man gets when he marries his wife is rights in her nichsim melug or nichsim tzayim barzel that she brings in to the chasim as part of her nedunya. When a woman brings in nichsei melug to her chasam as part of the tenai ksuba, although the karka is hers, the husband gets to eat the pears. She also cannot sell it, as we learned in the previous parak. And if she dies, the husband yarshins her. He is the first in line for Yerusha when his wife dies. Now, if a man wanted to be mevater, he wanted to give up on these rights, and he wrote a prenuptial agreement with his fiancée that he's willing to be mevater on these chusim, that's the topic that the Mishnah discusses at the beginning of the parak. And the Mishnah says, if a man writes to his wife, HaKosev li'ishtoi, Dinu dvar me'edli b'nechsayich, I don't have anything to do with your nechasim, he still gets to eat peiros of the nechsei mulug, and he still yarshins her if she dies. The only thing that the prenuptial agreement that he wrote to her has any effect on is whether she sells it. Normally, she can't sell it. Over here, since he made a t'nai with her that he's maskim to give her the rights to sell it, and thus deny him the privileges of the peiros, and if she dies, he won't yarshin her, to that, we say the agreement works. The Gemara explains in Amud Beis why it works just for imachar v'nos nakayim, just if she sells that it works, and not for the Paris or for Yerusha. We'll see later Beis Hashem further on in the share. Now the Rishonim ask Akasha, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rosh. They all ask, it's mashma from the Mishnah that if he didn't make this prenuptial agreement, if he didn't stipulate that he's allowing her to sell the Nichsei Melug, that the sale wouldn't be in effect, she could not possibly sell her Nichsei Melug without her husband's siluk of the schus that he has to stop her from selling her nechsei melug, l'chaira, that doesn't work in tandem with what we learned in the first Mishnah in the previous parak. The Gemara over here clearly explains that the reason siluk works in our Mishnah is because he was mistalik from the schusim that he has in his wife's nechosim when she was still in Arusa. But the kosef la'avoida Arusa, that's the Gemara right after the Mishnah. This siluk is taking place before the Nisuin, only after the Erusin. Now, we learned in the Mishnah in the 8th Perek, and the Fayin Ches Amud Aleph, that if a woman has Nechasim while she's in Arusa, and she was Nisus, she got married, and she sold those Nechasim, the Mishnah there says, actually Nisus v'Nisus, she had Nechasim before she was becomes a Nisua, and she got married. Rav Gamliel Oimer, Imachra v'nos nakayim. Rav Gamliel says, if she sold, it's kayim. The mechira is chal. So if the mechira is chal, even if the husband was not mistalik from his schus in the nechsei melug, why do we have to come on to the siluk? Why do I care if it was kosav lo or not? The Mishnah in Dafayin Chesamud Aleph says that the mechira is chal regardless. Now true, according to Takonas Usha that the Gemara brings over there, if a woman sold her nechsei melug after she becomes a Nesua, the Mechira is not Chal, but that's only a Takana that came afterwards. That's Takana Susha. But in the Mishnah, there's no such a Shita. So the Rishonim ask, how could we say in our Mishnah that because the husband made Siluk, that's why the Mechira is not Chal? Therefore, Machra V'nas Nakayim, if she sold or she gave it away, the Mechira is Chal. Even without that, the Mishnah Dafayin Ches says that the Mechira is Chal regardless. There are a few Mahalchim in the Rishonim to answer this question. The Ramban answers that the nafka mina in what the husband wrote this agreement with his wife, that he was mistalik from the nechasim, and that allows the mechira to be chal, and without it, it won't be chal. That's talking about nechasim that came to her after she was a nesua. If nechasim fell to her, let's say she may have had a yerusha come to her after she was a nesua, there the Mishnah clearly says that the baal is mitz miyad alekuchais, the baal can undo the mekach. So for such an instance where she got the nechasim after she was a nesua and she sold it, according to the Mishnah daf ayin ches, the mechir won't be chal. According to our Mishnah, if he wrote a prenuptial agreement where he's maskim to be mevater on the schus of undoing the sale that his wife sold her in nichsim alug, then the mechir is chal. Without it, the mechir will not be chal. That's the Ramban's explanation. Now the Ramban asks on himself that it's mefurish in the Yerushalmi that after the nesuin, the tnai of siluk that he made will not help, and the mechir will not be chal, which contradicts what the Ramban just said, that the tnai in our Mishnah is only necessary for a case where she got the nechasim after nesuin. And actually, that's the exact case the Mishnah is talking about, according to the Ramban. The Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira, if he wrote to her, Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayich, v'naflu l'alachar mikein, mahu. He wrote to her, Tanai of Siluk, and then she got the Nechasim later. Does the Siluk help for Nechasim she doesn't have yet? And the Yerushalmi answered, V'yesh adam masnal dover she'ina b'rishusay. Can a person be mistalik, make a Tanai on something that is not in his rishus? Our Mishnah is talking about the case of Lava Oida Arusa. She has the Nechasim. She has the Nechasim in her hand, and therefore he can be mistalik. But to be mistalik from something that he doesn't have any access to, the Nechasim are not by her yet. To be mistalik from Nechasim that she doesn't have already, that for sure won't be chal. Al Kolpanim, you see from the Yerushalmi that if he's mistalik from Nechasim that are going to fall to her after Nisuin, that the Siluk will not work. And that's not like what the Ramban explained, our Mishnah. So the Ramban says, that the Yerushalmi says, that the Tnai, the Siluk will not help for after Nisuin, Yerushalmi means if he made the Siluk after they were married. If he's mistalik after the Nisuin, the Siluk is not chal, because at that point already it's yada ki yada. And he would need much more than just being mistalik. He'd actually have to be makne her chalik to her. And therefore, since she doesn't have it yet, he can't make a kinyan. And siluk alone will not do the trick once they are already married. The Rashba does not accept the teretz of the Ramban. The Rashba understands that it's mashman the Rishalmi, that she's still in Arusa when he makes the siluk, and still siluk does not help for nechasim that come to her after she's in a suah. Therefore, the Rashba himself answers the kasha that we mentioned. Why do we need the siluk to allow the mechira to be chal? The mechira is going to be chal even without a siluk, as it's mavur in the Mishnah daf ayin ches omer aleph, that if a woman has nechasim when she's in arusa and she got married and she sold it, the mecher is chal. So why do we need the siluk of the husband? So the Rashba answers, the nafkamina is whether l'katchilu we allow her to. The Mishnah over there only says that b'di'evad imachar v'nas nakayim. If the husband actually made a siluk before the nisuin, then it's even mutter for her l'katchilu to go ahead and sell, as the husband was mistalik already. The Ritva does not accept this teretz of the Rashba, because now our Mishnah doesn't say moicheris v'naisenis l'katchilu. It doesn't say that she's allowed to go ahead and sell. It says imachar v'nas nakayim. So even if the husband was mistalik, it doesn't mean she's allowed to l'katchila go ahead and sell. It's only b'di'evad that it works. Therefore, the Ritva doesn't accept the Rashba's teretz. There's another mahalach in the Rishayim, Taisus and Daf Hayin Chesomet Beis, explains that the reason we need the siluk of the husband and it's not enough just to rely on the Mishnah and Daf Hayin Ches that says, Amachar v'nas nakayam, because our Mishnah is going according to the Amruloi. The Mishnah says over there that Rabbi Gamliel says, Achlai nisseis v'nisseis, if she had nechasim before nisuin and she got married, she did nisuin, Rabbi Gamliel, Oimer, machar v'nas nakayim. if she sold the nechasim, the mecher is chal. Amr mechanina ben akavya. Amr lufnei rabbi gamliel. Some tanoim told rabbi gamliel. Hayil bazachav isha leizkav nechasim. They were upset about rabbi gamliel paskin. If he was zeichan the isha, he should be zeichan the nechasim also, and the mecher shouldn't be chal. So rabbi gamliel answered them. We're really upset about Nechasim that fell to her after the Nisuin, and she sold that. That definitely, the Mecher is not Chal. Even that we're not happy with. You want to say that if she had the Nechasim before the Nisuin, and she sold it after the Nisuin, the Mecher shouldn't be Chal? That of course not. Now, the Pashas of understanding the Mishnah is that there's no Machlaikis. Amrula is that they asked the Kasher to Ring Gamliel, and Gamliel answered that I don't accept your position. But Taisus seems to understand that there is a Shita that argues in a Ring Gamliel. Amrula are Tanoim that held that Ring Gamliel is not right Lahalacha, and if Achalei Nisus, she had the Nechasim before Nisuin, and she got married, Imachar Vanosta, the Mecher is not Chal. Therefore, that Shita is the Shita that's represented in our Mishnah, and therefore the Mishnah holds that without Siluk, the Mecher won't be Chal. That's why, if he made a Tanai of Siluk before the Nisuin, that allows the Mecher to be Chal. Without it, the Mecher will not be Chal, as there is a Shita that actually argues in Ring Gamliel. Now we mentioned two Shitas, how to understand the Yerushalmi. Shita Saramban is that the Yerushalmi says that if he's Mistalek after the Nisuin, it's not Chal. It means that he did the actual Siluk after Nisuin. Since it's Yada Ki Yada, it's too late, it won't be Chal. However, if he's Mistalik Beshasa Erusin for Nechasim that'll fall to her after Nisuin, that the Ramban says is what it says in our Mishnah, that the Siluk does work. However, we mentioned the Rashba argues, and he holds that the Yerushalmi means if a man makes a Siluk even during the period of Erusin, on a chasen that will fall to her after an Isuin, the siluk is not chal. In Shulchan Aruch, in Ebenezer, Simon, Tzadik Beis, Sif Beis, both shittas we mentioned are brought. The Mechaber brings shittas Ramban that siluk does work for a husband to mistalik b'shasa Erusin for an chasen that are going to fall to her after the Isuin. And the Shulchan Aruch also brings Shitas HaRashba, who understands the Yerushalmi means to say that Siluk does not work during Shas Erusin for Nechasim that will fall to her after Nisuin. This is something that he does not have any access to. It's something that's not Bereshusai, and therefore he can't be Mistalik. Now that's certain that even according to the Rashba, if he's Mistalik during Erusin for Nechasim that are going to fall to her during Erusin after the Siluk, that the Siluk does work. It's only for Nechasim that'll fall to her after Nisuin that we say that the Siluk does not work. And the Mishnah Lamelech asks, what's the difference? If the rationale of the Yerushalmi, according to the Rashba, is that one cannot be Mistalik from Nechasim that he has no access to, he has nothing to do with, it's not Bereshusai. So what's the difference whether the Nechasim fall to her after the Nisuin, or even before the Nisuin, but it's after the Siluk took place? Why do we say that regarding the Nechasim that fall after the Nisuin, the Siluk does not work? Yet, regarding the Nechasim that fall to her during the Erusin after the actual Siluk, that the Siluk does work. In both cases, the Svarah should be the same, that it's not something he had access to, it's not something Bereshusai, and L'chaira, both cases should be the same halacha. Now the Miluim, in Simon Tzadik Beis Sif Kotten Vov, answers the Mishnah Melech's Kasha like this. He explains that really, b'yisoid, Siluk should work for something that's not Bereshusai. Siluk doesn't have the halachas of Kinyanim that it has to be Bereshusai. It could be Mistalik from something that's not Bereshusai also. The only thing it is, has to have some sort of a Shaychus with an Chosam he's being Mistalik from. The same way, one can't do Siluk before the Erusin. He has no Shaychus with an Chosam. The same way, he can't be Mistalik from something that's not even Bershus, his Arusa, because he has no Shaychus of the Nechasim. And now the Miluim explained, that's why he can't be Mistalik from Nechasim that'll fall to her after she's in Nesua. Because right now the Siluk won't be Chal. He has no Shaychus of the Nechasim. What are you going to say? The siluk should be chal later on after she's in a suah? When the nechasim actually fall to her? That can't be, because it's yada ki yada. At that point already, the husband has the same kayach and the nechasim that she has. Therefore, the siluk won't be chal. Technically, it could be chal b'shas the nefila. It's just like when somebody makes a kinyan on a dover shalog ba la'olam. According to the shita that it works, the chalois of the kinyan is when the thing he was makna was ba la'olam. But once she's in the suah, there's a technical problem. It's yada ki yada, and siluk doesn't work at that point. The siluk could be chal b'shas the nefila. It could be chal when she gets those nechasim. But at that point, she's in the suah already. It's too late. He needs to be makna to her. However, when she's still in Arusa, if he's going to be mistalik from the chasim that are going to fall to her later, when she's still in Arusa, where there's no technical problem of yada ki yada, in such a case, siluk will work. Because, true, he was mistalik when she still didn't have it yet, but siluk, since it's not an actual kinyan, it's just something on the gavur that he's mistalik from it, it can be chal later on when the nechasim actually fall to his arusa. Therefore, the Rashba that understands the Rishalmi, that says that if one is mistalik from the nechasim of his arusa, it doesn't work for nechasim that actually fall to her once she's in a suah. Yet the same Rashba holds that if she's still in Arusa when she gets the Nechasim, the Siluk does work, and Mishnah Melech asks, L'chayr, it's the same thing. If it doesn't work on future Nechasim when she's in Nesua, it shouldn't work on future Nechasim even when she's still in Arusa. According to Avner Meluim, the Kasha is not Shver. Siluk does work for Nechasim that fall later on. Not that it is Chal now. It's Chal B'Shas the Nefila. It's Chal when the Nechasim actually come to her Rishus. If she's in a suah, it's too late. It's yada ki yada, and siluk doesn't work at that point. But while she's still in arusa, the siluk will definitely work. The Mishnah continues: Kasav la nechsayichu v'peirisein mechayichu v'moiseich. He covered all the different bases. He was mistalik from the nechasim and from the peiris and from yerusha. In such a case, according to the Tanakhama, the siluk actually is chal for all the aforementioned schusim that the husband has. According to Rishon Gamliel, from Yerusha, the siluk does not work. He's a masal mashkos of Batayra, and the siluk is not chal. Regarding the Yerusha, of course, legabe the peiros and legabe the machar v'nos nakayim, the siluk is chal, even according to Rishon Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Eger asks the kasha. There's machloikis in Masech the Bava Basra, if somebody tells his friend, Kni at v'chamoyer, you and the chamoyer should be zaycha in my nechasim, half-half. So there's one sheet in the Gemara that holds that the person who is maknet to gets half. True, the chamoyer, a donkey, is not a bar kinyan, and therefore the half that he wanted to be maknet to the chamoyer is not chal, but the person that was included in this kinyan does get half because he is a bar kinyan, he is someone who could be kayin or something. There is a sheet, however, in the Gemara that says that since the kinyan included a chamor, someone who cannot have a chalois kinyan be made for him. Therefore, not only is the chamor not kaina, but the person who was included in that kinyan is also not zaycha, even in his half. Because if part of the kinyan doesn't work, the entire kinyan doesn't work. We actually find a similar machlekes lahalacha in Simon Resh Gimel and Chayshin Mishpat regarding somebody who's makne in one kinyan, something that he could be makna with a chayfetz that he can't be makna. Let's say it's a davar shleibah la'olam with a davar shleibah la'olam. Some shittas hold that the chayfetz that's makna'able, the davar shleibah la'olam, the kinyan is chal, and the davar shleibah la'olam, the kinyan is not chal. While other shittas hold that since the ma'isa kinyan included both a davar shleibah la'olam and a davar shleibah la'olam, just like the Dover Shleibah Lo'ilam, the Kinyan is not Chal. Likewise, the Dover Shleibah Lo'ilam will also not be Chal because it was all included in one Kinyan. Kiveger asks, according to this Shita that holds that by Kni At V'Chamoyer, not only is the Chamor not Kaina, the person is not Kaina either because he's included in the same Kinyan as the Kinyan that was made for a Chamoyer. Here too, if Rav Shimon Leal holds that Siluk does not work for Yerusha, and it's done together with the siluk that he made for the peiris and for the mecher that the wife makes, that the siluk allows her to sell. Since the siluk is not chal regarding the Yerusha, the siluk should therefore not be chal even for the other things that theoretically could be chal. The siluk that's not chal halfway, that's not chal lagabe Yerusha, should also not be chal lagabe the peiris and lagabe imachar v'nas nakayim. So Kivager answers, it's different. That we say that by kinyan v'chamor, that if half the kinyan doesn't work, the entire kinyan doesn't work, that's only by kinyanim. By siluk, it's different. Siluk has different rules. Just like siluk works for davar shleibel olam, the same way, when one makes siluk on two different things, one is something that one can make siluk from, one is something that the siluk shouldn't be chal, we won't say that it'll be like kniyat v'chamor, that the half that is not a bar siluk, that's not silukable, so to speak, whose siluk is not chal, will actually deny the other half that is something that's a bar siluk from being chal. Rather, by siluk, we'll definitely say the half that's not chal is not chal, and the half that can be chal will be chal. And it's not comparable to a kinyan where if half of the kinyan is not chal, the other half also will not be chal. The svara, the biur, in Rabbi Kivager's words, l'chayr, is pashit. A kinyan needs an act of a kinyan to transfer bailus. He makes a maisa kinyan, let's say kinyan sudr. He does a maisa kinyan, and half of it wasn't chal. So if half isn't chal, it knocks off the entire maisa kinyan. The entire maisa kinyan did not work. However, by siluk, it's not a maisa on the chayfetz. It's a din in the gavra. The person says, I don't want to be zoicha in those chafatzim. Since it's not an act that's mesiaches to a particular chayfetz as much as it's mesiaches to the person himself, the person says, I don't want to be zoicha in X, Y, and Z. So even if it's not chal klapei X, but klapei Y and Z, it will be chal. By a kinyan, where he has to do an act that's kaina X, Y, and Z, if the kinyan is not chal klapei X, so it's not going to be chal klapei Y and Z also. That one act has to be entirely valid according to the shita that holds by kinyat v'chamor that he's not kaina anything. However, by siluk, it's not that he's misalik the chafatzim from himself, rather he's misalik himself from the chafatzim, from the schus that he has in his wife's nechasim, and therefore klapei himself. If it's not chal klapei one schus of Yerusha, doesn't mean that it's going to invalidate the siluk regarding the schus of peiros or the schus that if she sold it, he cannot be mevatel the mekach. Now let's move on to the Gemara. The Gemara says, it doesn't necessarily mean in the Mishnah that he did a siluk through writing ishtar. Rather, it means he told his wife that he's mistalik from the schusim that he has in her nechasim. And the Gemara asks, v'chi kosav lamai hevi, what happened when he writes such a lashon, and why should it help? The Gemara brings a brisa that if one tells his friend, dinu dvar meili al sadazu, the person says that he's mistalik, or he has nothing to do with a particular field, layamar klum. It doesn't mean anything. As Rashi explains, that it's talking about a sada, a field of two shutfim, and one tells his friend, I have nothing to do with a field that's in our shutfis. It doesn't work because he has to actually say a lashon matana. This is a lashon siluk. Siluk does not help. Now the Gemara only asks the kasha of the chikas of lahachi mayhevi, what does it help when he does siluk? After the Gemara brought Reb Chiya's memra that it doesn't necessarily mean that he wrote it shtar, even if he tells his wife he's mistalik, it also works. And on that, the Gemara asks, what does he gain by writing a lashon of siluk when siluk doesn't work, as the Gemara brings a raya from the brisa that we mentioned? Now, the Rishonim question, why does the Gemara ask the kasha of chikos of lo hachi may hevi, after the Gemara teaches us Reb Chiya's memra that it makes no difference whether he actually wrote it or if he said it? It would seem from the Gemara that there is a connection between Reb Chiya's memra and the Gemara's kasha. Now, one mahalach of the Ritva says that's not the case. Reb Chiya that says that if he said a siluk instead of writing a siluk, it's chal just as well, really makes no difference to the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara could have asked the kasha even if we understood the Mishnah without Rabbi Chiya. However, there's another Mahalach in the Ritva, and the Rasha writes clearly like this, it's really a Ran also, that without Rabbi Chiya, I would think the Kavana of the Mishnah is, HaKosev Ishto didn't varm Eidli ben Echsayach means he writes a proper shtar. He wrote something in Bikinyan Amoyel, so that's why it's Chalof. The Gemara wanted to ask, HaKosev Lachim Ayavi. He wrote a proper shtar with a proper Kinyan. But now the Rabbi Chiya told us that the Mishnah is Lav Dafka with the Kinyan. It works Mehilchei Siluk. It's a new halacha that a person can be mistalik even without a Kinyan at all. If that's the case, it's just working out Siluk. There's a brisa that says that Siluk does not work. Therefore, there is a connection that the Gemara had to bring Rabbi Chiya before asking this kasha. Rabbi Chiya is our proof that HaKosev doesn't mean with a Kinyan, rather it means he did Siluk. To which the Gemara asks, Siluk L'chayr shouldn't work based on the brisa that the Gemara brings. Rabbi Kivager asks a tremendous kasha on this Mahalach. The Mishnah says that one can be mistalik, at least according to the Chachamim, from Yerusha. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Gemara had a Havmina, that the Mishnah is actually talking about HaKosev with a proper Kinyan, ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, how could you possibly explain the idea of Siluk from Yerusha with a Kinyan? Who is he making a Kinyan with? He's making a Kinyan with his Arusa, that he's makdal to her the Nechasim, that after she dies, she's going to keep it. After she dies, she doesn't own anything. One can't be mocked anything to a person who's not alive. The beneficiaries of that siluk would only be her yarshin. And he's not making a kinyan with them. He's making a kinyan with Zarusa. Therefore, it can't possibly be that the Mishnah is talking about HaKosev L'Ishtoi, that he wrote a siluk and he was actually mocking the Nechasim with a proper kinyan. The Mishnah says he's mistalik to his wife. And that would need a Kenyan with a Yarshim, which is not what he did. Therefore, Rabbi Kivager says that L'chayr it's a raya to the first Mahalach in the Ritva that we mentioned, that even without Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara could have asked the Kasha. Let's move on to the Gemara's Teretz. Amri Devei Rabbi Yane, because of love, Oida Arusa. The reason Siluk helps over here is because he was mistalik when she was still in Arusa. And the Gemara explains, Kedrav Kahana, Domer of Kahana, Nachla Abola, Odom in Mokom Acher, Odom Masna, Leash Le Yerushan. A person can be Masna on a Nachla, on a Yerushan that he's going to get through a different place, not from his father, rather from an act that he did, such as marrying his wife. A Yerushan that he's supposed to get from his wife, one can be Mistalik from. And the Gemara explains, Uchadarava. The Rava said, a person says, Iyashi Bidakonis Chachomim, someone who says he doesn't want to get something that the Chachamim were misakim for him to get, one can say, Iyafshi, I don't want it. Just like a woman can say that although the Chachamim were misakim for the husband to support me, I'm mistalik from that schus, I don't want him to support me, and therefore I won't give him my maisi yadayim. Same way, a person can say, Iyafshi, but I can't say Chachamim, and therefore be mistalik from the schusim that Chazal gave the husband from the Nechsei Maluk. Now, there are different mahalchim to explain what the Gemara just said. According to Rashi, and according to Taisus, the read that Taisus brings, the dynamic of Siluk works based on the klal of a person can say, I do not want to be zeicha in the schus that the chomum resaken for me. By Yerusha, the Raisa, by a schus that a person gets from the Araisa, Siluk will not work. Yashiv et HaKadosh Chachamim only works by a Drabonon. The Chazal were masakein a schus for a person. If the person says, I don't want that schus, he has a right to be mistalik. However, a Yerushim with the Araisa, for a son to say, I'm mistalik from the Yerusha of my father, a person cannot do that. A Yerusha that a person yarshens from his father is Midiraisa. And since the whole dynamic of Siluk is based on the halacha of a person saying, Efshi betakonos hachomim, by something that's Minat Torah, one cannot be mistalik. The reason being, according to the Ksais HaChayshin in Simon Reish Tes, Siv Kotn Yud Aleph, is because he's a masal, Mashikos HaBat Torah. A person can't make any deal against the Torah, even if it's not in the oifan of a tnai. The Ksais brings a raya from the Gemara in Perek Yeshnaichlan that if a man says, Pliny ibni lo yirshani, one of my sons won't be Yerushami, it does not work because it's masal mashkasa batayra. There it's not a tnai. There he just made a statement, not in the tzura of a tnai. And yet the Gemara over there says that the reason it doesn't work is because it's masal mashkasa batayra. Therefore, the Ksais says, according to us that we paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, that one can be masal mashikos of batayra if it's davar shebamamim. According to that, a siluk should work even by a diaraisa. The Nesivus, however, over there in Simon Reish Tes, argues on the Ksais. He proves from Taisvis at the end of Dibra Maskal Kedirav Kahana that siluk doesn't work by diaraisa even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Taisus asks Akasha, why does the Gemara have to come on to Rav Kahana? That a person could say, EF Shibet HaKonis Chachamim. Taisus asks, let him be Mistalik, just like he can be Masna by Sherksus Vaino. That the Gemara says in Dafnun Vav, Rabbi Yehuda holds, if a man is Masna, he's Mekadish and Isha, Manash Shain Olav Sherksus Vaino, he doesn't have to give her Sherksus Vaino. That Tnoi Kayim. And even the mayor that argues over there is only because he holds that masal mashikos abatayr tnai bottle, but here it's only the rabbanon. So of course the tnai should be chal. Why does he have to come on to the new halacha of yefshi b'dekanes chachamim? So Taisus answers over here is talking about that he wasn't masna derech tnai. He just made a statement. I'm being mistalik from the nechsim elu, and since it's not a tnai, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. That holds by Dovah Shabbamam and Tanoi Kayom, the siluk will not work. Only if it's said as a Tanai. If it's not said as a Tanai, even by Dovah Shabbamam, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it holds normally it is Chal. And we don't say Masna Mashakosa Batayr Tanoi Bottle. By Dovah Shabbamam, still, if it's not done in the Tzur of a Tanai, rather it's done in the form of a siluk, it won't be Chal, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the Nesivus proves from this Teretz of Taisvis that by the Araisa, Siluk can never work even according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's not done in the Oifan of a Tanai. Al Kol Panim, we have a clear Shita of Rashi and Taisvis that the dynamic of Siluk works only by the Rabbanon, because one could say, Yefshi ben Takonis Chachamim, but by the Araisa, Siluk cannot work. According to the Ksais, because Masal Mashikos Abatayr Tnoi Bottle, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda that holds the Tnai is Kayim by the Araisa, if it's Darsha B'mamoin, Siluk can actually work by the Araisa also. The Nesivus, we mentioned, proves from Taisvis that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Siluk cannot work by the Araisa. The Rana, however, has a different Mahalachat understanding the dynamic of Siluk and why Siluk only works by Yerusha Sabal, and not by a Yerusha that he gets from his father, only Nachla Habo Lomi Mokim Acher. The Ran explains that the reason one cannot be Mastalik from a Yerusha that he's getting from his father is because he can be Zeicha in that Yerusha at any time. The Ran writes that Rav Kahana that says, Nachla Habo Lomi Odom Mokim Acher, Nachla that a person gets from a different place, namely his wife, through marriage, that one can be Mastalik from. The Ran says, "Kaloymer she'achshav b'shosh mistalik v'imeno einoy roy liyorsha ki Yerusha sabal koydim nesuin." Now that he does his siluk, he can't be zayichan Yerusha. He's not yet in a situation where he can be Yerusha. Ulaafuki Yerushas aviv, that comes to exclude a Yerusha that a man yarshes from his father. The kivin she'roy liyorsha b'chol shah, since he could yarshen his father at any time. He's already zoicha and it's somewhat that he can't be mustalik. The Ran doesn't differentiate between Yerusha of the husband and Yerusha of the father. That Yerusha is habal is only in the Rabbanon. Therefore, he could say Yeshi b'takanas chachamim, as Taisus explains. Masha'en kein, Yerusha's aviv is the arise of the kedin, and therefore one cannot be mistalik. The Ran does not accept that. The Ran says the difference is Yerusha's Habal is something that he can't be yarish when she's still in arusa. He is not roy to yarshin her. Therefore, he can be mistalik at that point. Once she's in isua, he can be yarshin her at any point. If she dies that second, he's yarish her. So at that point already, he's like a son who can't be mistalik from the yerusha of his father, because at any point the father can die and be meirish is nechasim to the son. At that point already, siluk is not enough. One actually has to do a proper hakna, which is impossible, since he wasn't entirely zeichen it yet. If he wasn't zeichen it, he can't be makne it. Al kolponim, the Ran is clearly not understanding the din of siluk based on efshi b'takonas chachamim. He's explaining something different. Siluk is a din. A person has a zchus to be mistalik from nechasim that he wasn't zeichen even in the potential of being zeichen it at this particular time. If it's theoretically possible for him to be zeicha immediately, he can't be mistalik anymore because it's being mistalik from a potential zchus that he already has. If she's still an arusa, so he can't be yarisher. If she were to die now, he can't yarishen her. If that's the case, he could be mistalik. It's early enough to allow a siluk. Siluk, according to the Ran, is a din by itself. There's a din siluk that works from the chosim that he has some shaychus to it. She's already his arusa, but he cannot really be zeichet at this point in time. Then he can be mistalik. If it's in a matzav where he could theoretically be zeichen it right now, if she were to die immediately, and she's in a suah, or a son who at any point the father dies is zeichen and a chasim through Yerusha, at that point it's too late. He cannot be mistalik because he already is zeichen in the potential of being kind of these nechasim, but he didn't actually be kind of it fully that he can be machnit further. Therefore, he can't be mistalik from such a Yerusha. And the Ran goes on further to explain that the Gemara brings Rava, that just like we see that a person could be mistalik from a Takaras Chacham of Eini Nezainis Veini Yaisa, Taisus explains that that's Gufa the explanation, the understanding of the Din of Siluk. According to the Ran, that's not the understanding of the Din of Siluk. According to the Ran, what the Gemara is bringing Rava to say, that don't think that the reason Rav Kahana holds the one can be mistalik from Yerusha Sabal is because he holds Yerusha Sabal as Diraisa, and therefore it can be mistalik. But how could you mistalik from Peiros? Peiros is only in the Rabbanon, and maybe Chachamim also chizuk l'divrayhem Yosef Mishal Teira. Theoretically, it's possible that Chacham made a takana, and when they make a takana, even if it works with Diraisa to do a siluk, with the Rabbanon it won't work because they were mechazik divrayhem Yosef Mishal Teira. They strengthened their takonas even more than the rest of the Gedin. So that's why the Gemara brings Rava to say, don't say that. Because we find that the Chacham also allows siluk by takonah midivrayim. When the Gemara brings Rava, it's not going to explain Rav Kahana's din, the way Taisus explains. When the Gemara brings Rava, it's to answer up Akasha. You may come think that there's no raya from Rav Kahana that a person could be mistalik from Yerusha Sabal to Etakonah midirabanon. You might think by the Raisi you could do siluk by the Rabbanon chom also chizik midirayim yaisim shalteira. That's why the Gemara brings Rava to say no, we find siluk even by the Rabbanon, but it's coming to answer up a kasha, not to explain. Now the Gemara says the kasef lo vayda arusa, he was mistalik when she's still in arusa. Now what's the law? Can he do siluk before she's in arusa? Now the Ran says mefurish. The Shaykh Baksas, he has some Shaykhus to the Nechasim. I will kite him lachain. If he does Siluk before she's in Arusa, Kivin Shaymai Shaykhus ben Nechasim Klau, Silukai Lav Klomu. If he does Siluk before the Arusin, that's nothing. He has nothing to do with the Nechasim. That makes sense with the Ran Shita, that Siluk is not Stam, that he's saying, I don't want to be Zaycha in it, so therefore Chazal don't force him against his will to be Zaycha in the privileges of the Nechsem Meluk. Rather, there's a Kiyum Din, there's a Chalois of Siluk, and that has to take place when he has some Shaykhus with an Achasim. According to Taisvis, there is room to be done if one can do Siluk before the Erusin. He said, Yefshi B'takonos Chachamim, before Erusin. One can say that What's the difference? He was Megal Das, that he doesn't want to be Zaycha in the Schus that Chazal were Mezakeh him with. On the other hand, one can say that even according to Taisvis, saying Yevshi B'Takonis Chachomim is not Taifes, it's not going to be Chal, unless he's Bechlal in the Parsha of being able to say it. If one says Yevshi B'Takonis Chachomim before he's even an Arus, it's not going to be Chal, and therefore, even according to Taisvis, there's room to understand that one cannot be mistalic before Arison. L'maisa, the Ramah in Simon Sadik Beis, Sif Aleph, Paskins, like the Ranans, actually, Chuvas Harashba, also, Mefurish, in Simon, Tuftuf, Kuf Samach, that one cannot be mistalic before the Arison. It's not Chal. And as we said, it's possible that Taisvis also holds like this. Now, the Achrayim deal with an issue that how does this halacha of Siluk apply nowadays? Nowadays we don't make Erisin and then 12 months later make a Nisuin. The Erisin and the Nisuin all happen under the Chuppah. There is no time span between Erisin and Nisuin. So how does one do Siluk nowadays? To do it before the Chuppah, it's before she's in Arusa. And the Ramah Paskin, like the Rana and the Rashba that we just mentioned, that one cannot do Siluk before Erisin. So how does one make a prenuptial agreement nowadays to mistalik from the chasim of his wife since there is no time span of Erisin? It goes immediately from before Erisin to after Nisun. The Chavis Yair in his tshuva about this writes that we're relying on the shita that she's not considered a Nisua until the Cheder Yichud. Chuppah that makes her a Nisua is only when they get to the Cheder Yichud. Before that, she's still in Arusa. So therefore, if under the Chuppah he writes, signs a Siluk, or he declares that he's Mistalek, that's enough to allow a Siluk to be Chal, since she's in Arusa, but not yet in Nisua. Now that the Chavis Yair understands that the Chalois of the Nisuin, she becomes a Nisua only by the Cheder Yichud, and not under the Chuppah, that's not Poshet. There are several shitas regarding when she actually becomes a Nesua. Therefore, according to the shita that holds that under the chuppah she becomes a Nesua, we're back to square one. How does Ishtar Siluk work nowadays, as there's no time where she's considered an Arusa and not a Nesua? The second, he's Mekandesher, she's a Nesua, she's under the chuppah. The Taz in a tshuva, that the Pesachei tshuva in Simon Tzadik Beisiv Kotan Aleph quotes, has a different approach how to explain why Siluk works nowadays, even though the Shtar Siluk is written before she's in Arusa. Because when the husband writes a Shtar Siluk when they're engaged before the actual Arusin, it has a din of Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal. Since the husband actually believes that the Siluk is Chal, the Siluk works, even though in effect it doesn't really work, it's like Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal, that, as we all remember from the previous paragraph, Shimon holds that Baal is not Zaycha in it, since he was not aware of it. He's not Zaycha in it like all other Nechasim. So therefore, even though it's a mistake, and the Siluk shouldn't work Mehilcha Siluk, but since he thinks he was Mistalik, that's enough to make it Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal, just like if the wife writes a Shtar Mevrachas, as we saw in Daf Ayin Cheso and Beis, it has a din of Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal, even though the actual shtar isn't Chal, the matona that she gave away isn't Chal, it was a shtar mavrachas, she was just trying to trick the husband. Still, since the husband doesn't know about it, it has a din of Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal. Likewise, when the husband is mistalik before the Erisin, while they're engaged, that's enough to make it Nechasim She'enim Yidum Labal, and therefore he is not Zaycha. Dam Nimeluim in Simon Sadik Beis, if Kotten Dalad brings us several other Mahalchim, how to explain technically how Siluk works nowadays, even though it's done before the Erisin, and there are more Paskins that if she's not in Arusa, Siluk should not be Chal. He brings an Avodah Sagershuni that writes, what happens is the husband writes Ishtar Udisa, Ishtar that he's Maida, that he was Mistalei Kedin. Davni Milum has a problem with it, since theoretically it's not possible to be Mistalei as there is no time between the Erisin and the Nisuin, the Shtar Yisa shouldn't work. Rabbi Meluim himself has a mahalach to explain how it works nowadays. There's another mahalach there, but from the Haggah, and Rabbi Meluim, Ayin Shah. Now let's move on towards the end of the Amud. The Gemara asks a Shiloh. If they made a kinyan, does it work? And the Gemara answer says there's two shitas. Rav Yosef holds midinu dvar mikanu miyadai. The kinyan is midinu dvar, and Rav Nachman says migufa shel karka kanu miyadai. The kinyan was actually on the karka itself. There are several mahalchim in the Rishonim to explain what is the Gemara talking about in the Shaila. Kanu miyadai mahu. Regarding what? So, Rashi learns it's going on the Braisa. The Gemara previously mentioned the Braisa, that if somebody tells his friend, Dinu Dvorim Ein Li Al Soda Zu, V'yodi Misulekas Einan, if somebody did Siluk from a Soda, Loyomar Klum, it doesn't work. And Rashi explains, to give one's Shutif his part of the field, Siluk doesn't work. He needs to actually be Machnet. And the lashon of Yadi Misulekas Heimenu or Didn Dvarim Ainli Al Sadazu is not enough. The Gemara asks the Shiloh, what happens if he actually made a Maisa Kinyan? They did Kinyan Soder. The Shutif, who is going to be Zaych on the other half, if it works, gave his Soder to the Makna. And the Makna, the one who wants to give away his part of the field, said, Didn Dvarim Ainli Al Sadazu. When they made the Kinyan, did the Kinyan be misyaches to the field, or is it misyaches to what he said, dinu dvarim ein li al sadazu? And that's a machlekes, if it's on the field itself, so karkas nikna b'chalipin. If it's misyaches, if it's considered that the kinyan was a kinyan on the words, dinu dvarim ein li al sadazu, it won't help. If siluk doesn't help, even if you make a kinyan on a siluk, that also will not help. Now Taisus asks a kasha on Rashi. Taisus asks, what's a kinyan going to help? Who's he being maknet to? He's being mafkered. He's not being maknet to the other shutif. He's sacha kol being mafkered when he says, Ein li eisik bo. I don't want to have anything to do with it. That means that he's allowing anybody to take it. How does Rashi understand that the other shutif will be zaychan it? Now, Rashi will explain that when he says, Ein li eisik bo, what he means is, I'm being maknet to you. Rashi understands the umdana of that lashon, the understanding of what the shutif that's being makna, his half, means he's giving it to his other shutif. Taisus doesn't understand that. He doesn't accept that when a person says, Ein li esek, in this field, he means to be makna to his shutif, elamai, he means to be mafkirit, and therefore Taisus refuses to learn like Rashi. Now, it's noteworthy to mention the Shar Mishpat and Simon Ein Resh Hei in Chayshin Mishpat has it sad to say that if someone is a shutif with a ger and the ger died, he has no yarshin, automatically the other shutif takes over the entire shutvis. The second one of two shutfim disappears from the shutvis and there's no yarish to take over that shutif that disappeared, the entire shutfis goes to the remaining shutif. L'chayra, it would seem from the Taisus that we just mentioned that he disagrees with this svara of the Shar Mishpat, because here Taisus asks, how does Rashi understand the Gemara Sofik? If the shutif that wants to be makne his chelik makes a kinyan on the lashon of a siluk, that he means to be mafkarit, so how does the other shutif receive his half? According to the Shar Mishpat, it's simple. When one shutif abdicates his position in the shutvis, the other shutif naturally, automatically, gets the entire shutvis. From the fact that Taisus understands that the other shutif will not receive the first shutif's chelik in the shutfis, it's mochach that it does not hold to the Shar Mishpat. Now, as we mentioned, Taisus asks on Rashi's Mahalach that even if he made a kinyan, there is no way one shutif could be makna his chelik to the other shutif if he said Ein li esek bo or Dinu dvorim Ein li al sadezu. Therefore, Taisus understands the Gemara Shaila is referring to a case where she's a nesua. It's clear from the Mishnah that once a woman is a nesua to her husband, he cannot be mistalik from the nechasim only while she's an erusa. The Gemara has a shaila. If he made a kinyan, can he be mistalik from the nechasim even after the nesuin? He's machne his schus in her nechasim to her. If he says he's being mistalik from the nechasim and he made a kinyan, the Gemara asks the shaila, is it chal or not? And the Gemara brings the machlekes on Meirayim whether his intention is to make a kinyan on the siluk, which will not work, or his intention is to make a kinyan on the nechasim, which can work. Now, the Rashba understands that the Gemara Shaila is going on both cases, also on a shutif and also on a nesua. Actually, the Ritva understands that even according to Rashi, the Shaila in the Gemara is also talking about a nesua. Just Rashi mentions it could work also, the Gemara Shaila can be asked also regarding a shutif, but it's not that Rashi disagrees with Taisvis. Now, that's one way of understanding Rashi, that there's no machlokes between Rashi and Taisvis, and Rashi's also meida that the Gemara's Shaila could be asked regarding this Nesua. However, the Pnei Yeshua clearly understood that Rashi disagrees with Taisvis. Rashi understands that the Gemara's Shaila can only be asked regarding a shutif and not regarding a Nesua. The Pnei Yeshua explains why. He actually gives a couple of mahalchim. We'll mention one. Pnei Yeshua explains that since the Iker Haguf of the Karka belongs to her, it's not shaykh to say, at least the way Rashi understood, that when he makes a kinyan, he's making a kinyan on the Karka. You can't be makna to somebody something they already own. He has chusim in the Karka. He has privileges. He doesn't own the Karka. So to say that he made a kinyan on the karka to give it to his wife, who already owns the karka, Rashi says that's impossible. The only thing he could be making a kinyan on is the actual siluk. To make a kinyan on siluk, that's a kinyan dvarim. That's not a kinyan on etzem karka. That's a kinyan on an act, which is called a kinyan dvarim, and therefore, according to Rashi, it's impossible for the Gemara to have a tzad that he can make a kinyan and the siluk from the karka that his nesua brought in. And therefore, the Gemara Shaila can only be asked regarding a shutif where one can be makna, the etzem karka. The karka belongs to him. And therefore, the Gemara has a Shaila whether when he made a kinyan after saying dinu dvarim, ein li al karka zu, if he meant to actually be makna, the karka. The Amnei Miluim in Siman Sadik Beis offers another explanation why Rashi refuses to accept Taisus' Mahalach in the Sugya. He explains that since the Mishnah says that if a man tells his wife, Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Al Nechsayich, when he makes a siluk, the siluk only works regarding Sheim Machar V'Nas Nakayim, if she sells it, that the Mechar is Chal, but not regarding anything else. Memela, the kinyan that he's making in the Gemara Shaila, that he's makna to her, her schus in the karka, that if she sells it, it will be chal, that's called kni al manas lahaknois. The entire kinyan is just in order to allow her to be makna it further. There's a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim in the end of the fifth perek, that kni al manas lahaknois, to make a kinyan, and the only nafkamina in the kinyan is not that he's giving something to the person that's being kind, rather, it's only in order to allow another kinyan to take place, such a kinyan is not chal, and therefore Rashi understands that the Gemara can't be talking about that he's makna, her the schus, to sell it on further, because that's kinyan manas lahaknois, which is not chal. Now regarding the etzem shaila in the Gemara, the Ritva explains, b'shem Rabbeinu Yoina, that that's pashut, that if he clearly says, I'm making the kinyan on what I said, dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayach. He's making the kinyan on the actual siluk. That, of course, is not going to work. Making a kinyan on siluk doesn't make the siluk any stronger if the siluk is not chal. And since we're talking about a nesua, or by a shutif, according to Rashi, siluk doesn't work. He has to be makna the guf akarka. The Gemara Shaila is where he said dinu dvarim ein li al sadazur. He said dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayich, and then he made a kenyan b'stama. The question is, what is the umduna? How do we understand what he meant to make the kenyan from? From the karka be'etzem, or is it a kenyan on the words dinu dvarim ein li, and it's a kenyan on the siluk? Now to sum up the halacha so far, the Beis Shmuel, in Siman Sadik Beis Siv Katan Vav, writes that there are three madregas regarding siluk. The first madrega is where a husband was mistalik from the nechasim before the actual erusin. That, as we mentioned before, is not chal, it's too early, he has no shaychus to the nechasim. The second madrega is the madrega that our Mishnah is talking about. He is mistalik between the period of the erusin until the nesuin. Siluk is chal. The dynamics of how it works is totally in the machlekes that we mentioned before. And if he's mistalik from the chosin that will fall to her after the nisuin that we mentioned is a machlekes rishainim, whether it's chal. The third madrega is if he's mistalik after nisuin. In that case, the only way siluk can be chal is if he made a kinyan. As we see in our Gemara, that if he made a kinyan and it's megufish el karka konu miyodai, he can be mistalik even after nisuin. However, over there, in a case where he's mistalik after nisuin, the siluk can only work for nechasim that she has in her possession at that time. It definitely cannot work for nechasim that will fall to her in the future, as we saw in the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier. Here it's not a regular siluk, here it's actually a kinyan, and therefore to make a kinyan it could only be something that she owns. There's a third mahalach in the Rishayim to explain the Gemara Shaila, before we mentioned Rashi and Taisvis. The third mahalach is the Rif and Rabbeinu Chananu and Rabbi Haigoin. The Gemara Shaila is not about a Nesua. The Gemara Shaila is about an Arusa, the case of our Mishnah. And the Gemara Shaila is, normally when a man does a siluk, the siluk is only that if she sold it, he cannot be mevatel lemekach. The Gemara Shaila is, if he made a siluk with a kinyan, does it make the siluk stronger that he not only can't be mevatel lemekach that she makes, rather it also adds to the siluk that he cannot eat from the peiros, which the Gemara brings in machlekes, according to Rabbi Yosef, all that he did is that he strengthened the dinu dvarim, ainli al sadazu, that he said to her. But of course, he still gets to eat the peiros. According to Rav Nachman, migufa shel karka konu miyodai, he was mistalik entirely from every yischus that he has in the karka, and therefore he will not eat peiros either. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskin is like this mahalach in the Gemara. This is Shitas Rambam also, and therefore, if he made a kinyan when he was mistalik while she's in arusa, he doesn't get to eat peiros. The siluk with a kinyan is as if he was mistalik from everything the karka has to offer. Now, there is a machloikis in this shita alone if he's also mistalik from Yerusha when he made the siluk through a kinyan. According to the Rosh, in this mahalach in the sugya, that megufa shel karka konu miyodai, he was mistalik entirely from all the schusim in the karka. Not only doesn't he eat peiros, but he also doesn't get a Yerusha if she dies from this karka. And according to the Rambam, the Ran in the Tur, even if he made the siluk with a kinyan, he was mistalik only from the peiros, and of course that in machar v'nas nakayim, but from Yerusha he was not mistalik, even if he made a kinyan. Now let's go on to the next piece of Gemara in Amud Beis. The Gemara brings the Mishnah that when a man is mistalik by saying dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayich, he was just mistalik from the schus of forcing her to be mevatel in machar v'nosna. Now that he was mistalik, in machar v'nosna kayim. So the Gemara asks, let her tell him, when you're mistalik from everything. Why does he still retain the schus of peiros and the schus of Yerusha? So the Gemara answers, Amra Abaya yad bal shtar al techtoina. The rule is, when somebody brings a shtar to be tevea something with a shtar, if it's not clear in the Lashon exactly what is included in the shtar, we say Yad Bal Ashtar Al Techtoino, and he can only get the minimum understanding of what it says in the shtar. So the Gemara asks, why is Imachar V'nosna Kaim the minimal understanding of the Siluk? Let's say he was Mustalik from Paris and say that's the minimal understanding. So the Gemara answers, Butsinatav Mikra, it's better to have something small and certain than something bigger and uncertain. Now for sure he knows he can eat Paris, whether she's going to sell or not. He doesn't know, therefore he'd rather be Mustalik just from this chus of being mevatel a sale that she makes. The Gemara asks, say that he's Mustalik from Yerusha and not from this chus being mevatel in Machar Benosna. So the Gemara answers, he says, Shchiach Mechira is not Shchiach. And therefore he was Mustalik only from something that's not Shchiach. That's why Abaye understands when he was Mustalik from something, we don't know what, Abaye understands Misvara, he definitely meant Shemachar V'nosna Kayim, but he was Mustalik from Paris and from Yerusha. Rav Ashi has a different understanding as to why the Mishnah says the Siluk is only applicable to the Schus of Imachar V'nosna Kayim. Rav Ashi says, B'nichsayich is mashma v'loy b'perisein. He wasn't Mustalik from the Paris, just from the Karka. B'nichsayich, the word B'nichsayich, is mashma while she's still alive, v'loy la'achar misa. That's why Rav Ashi understands that the Siluk is mashma only from the schus of being bebatel, a mechira or a nesina, and it does not include a siluk from Paris or from Yerusha, because the word benechsayich is not mashma like that. Now, what's the nafkamina between Rav Ashi's mahalach of benechsayich v'loy beperisein and benechsayich v'loy la'achar misa, that the loshen benechsayich is not mashma, that it includes a siluk from Paris or from Yerusha, and Abaye's shita of Yad Bal Ashtar Al Techtoino, that the halacha is that we're going to translate the siluk in its most minimal form. There are at least two differences la halacha. First of all, the Beis Shmuel says a very pashut nafkamina. If he wrote in the shtar siluk that it'll be yada ala halayina, in such a case, according to Abaye, the siluk will be chal from all three schusim that the husband has in her nechasim. Whereas according to Rav Ashi, since the word benichsayich is not mashma a siluk from Yerusha or from Paris, the halacha will remain the same, that the siluk is only from the schus of the mevatel, a mechira, or a nesina. Now really in Taisvis, it's mashma, there's a more simple nafkamina. Taisvis asks Akasha, according to Rav Ashi, that the word benichsayich does not include a mashmos of siluk from Yerusha or siluk from Paris. Taisus asks, according to Rav Ashi, who does not hold of Yad Ba'al Ashtar Al Techtoino, rather he holds it's from the mashmos of the Lashon in and of itself. Taisus asks, why does the Mishnah say Imachar V'nosna Kayim that it only works with the Eved? It should be say in the Mishnah Meicheres V'nesenus L'Katchila. Taisus understands the way the Marshal explains that the Mishnah says in Machar V'nosna Kayim is because really it's a suffix. We don't know what he meant for certain. It could be he just meant Yerusha. The whole Siluk is only applicable to the Schus Yerusha. But in Machar V'nosna, the Mekach should be Batel. Maybe he meant just from Paris. Since it's a suffix, L'katchila to go ahead and say that she can sell, the Mishnah doesn't want to allow her to do that. It could be that's not what he meant at all. Misafik, in Machar V'nosna, it's Kayim, b'di'evet. But l'katchila, according to Abaye, she cannot go and sell. According to Rav Ashi, however, that holds that the Lashon b'nechsayich does not have any mashmos that it pertains to siluk of Yerusha or Paris, understanding is clearly a siluk from a schus b'mevatel, a mechira or nesina, then L'katchila she should go ahead and be able to sell, since that's what the siluk meant. Taisus al Kolpanim understands that there's clearly a machlaikas Rav Ashi and Abaye l'halocha if she can sell or give the nechasim away l'katchila. According to Abaye, she can't. It's only a machar v'nosna kaim misofek, not bevadai. According to Rav Ashi, l'katchila she can go ahead and sell. Now from Taisus, it's mashma that there's a machlekes over here between Abaye and Rav Ashi. Abaye holds that Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina, and according to Ravashi, we don't say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. Now the Taz, in the beginning of Siman Tzadik Beis, asks Akasha, L'chayr, it's impossible to say that Ravashi does not hold of the rule Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. It's an accepted rule in Shas, that's the halacha, how we pass in L'chayr Mishpat Siman Mem Beis. And L'chayr, the halacha should be like Ravashi also. Generally, the halacha is like Ravashi, the Basra. So how can we reconcile these two halachas? Here, it's Mashman Abaye does not hold of Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. So the Taz explains, of course, Rav Ashi all over in Shas, if a person comes and presents a shtar and the Mashmos is not clear how much it's Mechayiv, well, of course, the Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. That's based on the simple rule of Hamutzim Chaveiro Olav Araya. If you want to take out something from the person you're being Teveya, you have to prove that you deserve it. And since it's not 100% clear from the Lashon of the Shtar, we'll say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. What happens if the person holding the Shtar is not coming to be Moitzi, rather he's coming to be Machzik? He has a Shaver, he has a receipt that says that he paid, it's just not clear how much he paid. There's a Cheskes Chiyuv on a larger sum. The receipt that he's showing shows that he paid. It could be for the larger sum, and it goes against the chazaka of the chiyuv that he had till now. And if we say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina, even in such a case, we're going to say that the receipt, the shaver that he's showing, is going to include the most minimal amount that we can explain in the shtar. Or we could say that in such a case, we do not say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. Rather, we'll say HaMoitzi M'Chaveiri Olav Araya, the classic halacha, that to be Moitzi, you have to prove it. And in this case, where the Baal Ashtar is being machzik, he has a receipt and he's saying, I paid already and you cannot force me to pay anymore, we'll say, in fact, Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. In this case, saying Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina on the wife who's producing a shtar of siluk, what's happening, in fact, is she's trying to be machzik with the shtar. According to the understanding of Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina, it works. The dynamic is, because HaMoitzi M'Chaveiro Olav Haraya, if that's the case, in a case where someone's producing a receipt or where a wife is producing a shtar siluk, where she's really holding on to her nechasim, then we should say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. And we should say that the siluk includes everything. That's really the svara of Rav Ashi. That's why Rav Ashi refuses to answer like Abaye that Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. Of course, in Kol HaTorah Kulo, we'll say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina, because the rule is HaMoitzi M'Chaveiro Olav Araya. So we're not going to allow the Teveya to take more than the most minimal understanding in the shtar, because HaMoitzi M'Chaveiro Olav Araya. However, if somebody is going to be machzik with the shtar, so HaMoitzi M'Chaveiro will work just the opposite, and we'll say that the shtar of the shaver, or the shtar of the siluk, which is machzik the money by the nitva, will try to include as much as possible in order to say, HaMoitzi M'Chaveiro Olav Araya. That's where Rav Ashi understands that we cannot explain the Mishnah by saying Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. Therefore, Rav Ashi says, the word B'Nechsayich, by definition, does not include a siluk from Yerusha or a siluk from Peirs. However, Abaye understands the rule of Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina is applicable here also by a shtar siluk, even though she's really trying to be machzik and not be mitzi with a shtar. The Taz explains that Abaye understands that since, through Takonos Chazal, the husband is muchzik, when the wife is showing a shtar siluk, and she's saying that the husband should not get the schusim that Chazal gave her in her nechasim, even in such a case, we'll say Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina. And actually, the Taz is medayik in Rashi's Loshan. When Rashi says Yad Baal Ashtar Al Techtoina, Rashi explains, anyone who takes a shtar on somebody that's muchzik, if the Loshan is not clear in the shtar, we minimize the mashmos of the shtar as much as possible. The kan habal bo betakonas chachomim al nichse ishtoi. Here the husband has a schus in his wife's nechosim through the takonas chachomim for three things: to eat peiros and to yarshin, and if she sells
he could be mevatel lemekach. Since she's coming with a shtar siluk, we minimize the mashmos as much as possible. Rashi means to say that according to Abaya, Abaya understands that he's a mochzik. Not because b'metzius he's a mochzik, rather because through Chazal's takona, he has a din of a mochzik. In that nekuda is where Rav Ashi and Abaya are choylik. Abaya holds he's a mochzik and therefore yad ba'al shtar al tachtoina. We're going to minimize the siluk that the wife is producing to its smallest possible understanding. However, Rav Ashi doesn't agree to Abaya's assertion that the husband's considered a muhsik. Since the metzius is that lemaisa the husband is being mitzi from his wife, the mechasim are definitely hers. True, he has a takonos chazal on his side that he should get these payers, he should get the Yerusha, but lemaisa it's hers. We're not going to say he's considered a muhsik, and therefore we will not say yad ba'al shtar al hatachtoina. In a case where the person who's really the muhsik is holding on to the shtar, we say yad ba'al shtar al yoina. Ha'maitzi mechaver al v'haraya. He is the maitzi. He's going to have to prove that the siluk was not from all three things. That's why Rav Ashi could not accept the bias teretz, and he had to answer that b'nechsayich, by definition, has connotations of being mistalik just from the schus of being mevatel, mechira, or nesina, and it does not include a siluk from Yerusha or a siluk from Paris.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.